Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Roger Goodell must sit Bill Belichick down for two games.
Well, I think the biggest thing is I actually believe Bill Belichick.
I would imagine a fine, if there is a punishment.
I don't know the answer to that question.
Figure it out.
Dale Arnold.
In retrospect, it might have been better for us had we lost one somewhere along the way. I'm curious how many likes you get from 2,000 people you don't even know. There's 53 guys in the locker room. Those are the 53 that matter.
Rich Keefe.
If I gave you my heart, but the very next day, Dale gave it away.
Yes,
this is the best one, huh?
Dale and Keefe, middays.
I'm going to suggest it might include poop.
Yikes.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI.
Pretty good George Michaels right there.
Really good, right? Yeah. Really strong.
He had the vibrato going.
Shime's having a week.
Felt real good about that one, guys. I'm not going to lie to you.
Shime. He's just picking winners left and right.
He's a lozenge, though.
He does. What happened? Did you throw your voice out last night?
Yeah, sorry.
Are you singing all night? Are you a guy that goes around caroling?
Caroling like from my own shower.
Come on. You don't go door to door and be like, hey, you mind if I sing you a couple songs?
No, you know, sometimes I yell a little bit too much playing video games.
Yeah.
I sing a little bit while I play video games.
I gotcha.
Do we want to bring up his record last week?
We'll do that on Friday.
Oh, okay,
that's
good.
Normally when we kind of reach out to
him. Dale wasn't here for last Friday's crazy picks segment either. So.
Oh, that's true.
He didn't get to hear all our Santa-themed picks.
Another parlay.
He did have some good picks.
I don't know this person professionally. His name is Marcus Mosher.
Only Ooh. Socially?
On Twitter. Okay. He is the host of Locked On Cowboys, the managing editor of the Raiders Wire.
Wait a minute. He's a Cowboys and Raiders?
I know. Wow. Weird.
You can't double dip. No, don't double dip.
That's against the rules.
He tweeted out, and Wiggy's not going to like this.
Oh.
He tweeted out a few minutes ago, like 8 minutes ago, there is 0% chance that Antonio Brown ever plays another snap in the NFL.
Wow. What the hell does this guy know?
Right.
Locked on Raiders.
0% chance.
Get out of here. 0%
to which
chance.
AB responded.
Oh, well. Okay.
Okay, now we're talking. F him, he said.
Oh, well.
0%
chance.
Is
he saying F him like to the league or to this gentleman?
I probably would say it would be.
Well, M indicates to me the league more than this guy.
No, I would say this guy.
This guy. You're thinking it's this guy.
Did he say him?
No, just F him. That's, you know, F him. F him. Like, what do you know? F him.
What do you know? I don't think you can say anybody is out. Banished from the league.
Right.
Josh Gordon looked like he wasn't coming back for a while.
Right. He did.
He got a couple of opportunities. So I wouldn't rule Antonio Brown out for good. I don't think the league's going to do that for good.
Oh.
And why does this guy know?
And by the way, he
this guy doesn't know anything.
He just actually tweeted out that the NFL is racist. AB did.
Oh, I thought you meant the guy from Lockdown Raiders.
No, AB. AB's on another.
Oh, so he's back at
Twitter
that
tirade
so he's,
here.
He's failing. Well, listen, I told you he's a kid with no home, and now he's, you know, he's in his failings right now.
Oh, he's got a lot. He's doing a lot.
Well,
right
it's the NFL. I mean, they're dragging.
I
their
would
feet
suggest
on this
calling
one.
The NFL racist is probably not a good way to try to get back in the good graces.
I don't think he cares about let me say this. I don't think he cares about the NFL's failings.
But ultimately, if he wants to play again, doesn't he kind of have to?
No, I think he's just like, okay, my case is done, right? Commissioner, you did your investigation. Make a ruling. And what will probably happen is the commissioner will make a ruling after the season.
He just had this whole long apology the other day.
Right.
I know.
Going on like a real sad sack apology.
Well, it's emotions, man.
But now the league's racist again?
You never seen that thing that says mood, and then you put next to it whatever mood that you're in?
Do you think he wears a mood ring?
Oh, yeah.
It just is constantly changing.
It's definitely changing. It's constantly changing.
It's never the same
I think
color.
It's in the, isn't it the red stage is where you're
kind
of
upset?
Yeah,
you don't want that. You don't want to see red.
Yeah, he's seeing red
That'd
right now.
That'd be scary. Yeah, he's having a tough time right
he's
now.
He's having a day today.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to the calls with you guys. 617-779-7937. Mark's in Medford. Hey, Mark.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
Listen, Dale, I don't know if this is a stupid question, okay? But I'll ask it anyway, and you be the judge. The Patriots asked permission from the Cleveland Browns to do this in their house.
They did.
Okay?
Yep.
Okay. So why aren't the Cleveland Browns sharing some of the responsibility here? It's their house. They gave Kraft Productions permission to use their facility to film a game or whatever they're filming.
No. They brought them in. They brought a film crew in there, Mark. They should know the rules. Right. What, are they going to explain to them all the rules again?
What I'm trying to say is, shouldn't it be the responsibility of the host stadium to let the Bengals know what Kraft Productions was doing?
No.
Because I don't hear anybody holding Cleveland Browns responsible
because
for
anything.
Because
they're not.
They're not.
Why not?
They didn't do anything wrong. What did they do wrong?
They didn't do anything wrong.
Well, instead of giving permission, should they have contacted the NFL first and say,
no.
Listen, the Kraft Corporation Productions want to do something here. Is it okay?
Well, I would suggest maybe the Patriots should
have
done that.
Well, see, what should have really happened?
The Cleveland's got nothing to do with this.
No.
They said, sure, you can do it. You're doing a documentary. Do you know how many documentaries and film things are going on? Think about just the NFL Network alone. Like, when you sit down and watch a show, how do they get all that footage? Mm-hmm. So there's always cameras coming in and
out. See, here's where the Patriots went wrong. When whoever this producer was that was down there, they were in Cleveland shooting, right? And this is where everything took place.
Right.
The Cincinnati Bengals, their security approached them and said, we need this.
Supposedly NFL security did
first. Was it NFL security?
The Bengals notified NFL security.
Okay.
The Bengals people who were apparently, right there, videotaped them with their cell phone. They got their cell phone out and videotaped 8 minutes of the monitor showing them trained on the Bengals sideline. Went to NFL security and said, hey, what's going on here?
Right. See, the Patriots should have handed over any evidence, not to the Bengals, to the NFL security. And that's where it should have went. And it should have went there, and it should have went from the NFL. Then it should have went right to, Goodell and his office that monitors it, all this. That's who it should have been. It should have been the Brown security to get the NFL. The Cincinnati Bengals, they might just bring it to the attention, but they shouldn't have got the footage. The footage should have went to the league first. And there were reports that the Cincinnati Bengals said, hey, we want your footage.
Well, no, it's the NFL that wanted the footage.
Mm-hmm.
The Bengals videotaped it with somebody with a cell phone. They already got what they needed. It was NFL security who basically descended on this production team and said, hey, what are you doing?
Right. See, the NFL needs to do something. That's the problem with Goodell. He needs to put out a statement. That's why you got guys like Antonio Brown going nuclear on social media, because Goodell is an absolute moron. You got these things.
What's he got to do with this?
He needs to come out and put out a statement so we don't have tweets of the seeding charts and what this and speculation of that. And what
he just doesn't operate as quickly as you want him to.
But what about the first time he did Spygate?
It took a while, didn't it?
4 days is a while?
Well, I mean, it's only been
pretty quick.
This is Wednesday. This happened Sunday.
So we're already in the same timeline.
Right. What is the purpose of dragging your feet when this is the biggest story nationally? You have a cheating scandal in your league.
Yeah, you can knock this thing out. Now, I'll give them another day or two. It needs to be before Sunday's game. They need to have
Friday. If you don't have Friday. Something done by Friday at 4 p.m.
Then what are we doing?
Then
you're allowing this to continue.
And that's the problem with Goodell. And that's why, I know he's a loose cannon, but that's why a guy like Antonio Brown goes nuclear, because you're waiting for answers from this moron that makes $35 million a year and just can't come out and say, hey, listen, here's what we found. We found something. We found nothing, but this is what we found.
What do you think this takes? They just need to go talk to...
They don't talk to anybody.
The league does.
I think they know now.
You think they do?
I mean, they seized the SD cards. They've got that. They've seen the video. They've talked to the producer, who apparently the producer was like, look, I'm sorry. I screwed up. I didn't realize.
You have the video.
But if I was a skeptic, and I'm not, but if I was.
No, near skepticism, no.
Wouldn't you say, if you're Goodell or anybody outside of the Patriots, well, you guys admitted pretty quickly that you did something wrong.
Yeah.
I need to look into it, because maybe you're trying to just take the fall for this, right? It's like, hey, I robbed a bank, and then on my way out, I killed somebody. But I go and tell you, I'm like, yeah, I robbed the bank. Get me for the bank. Get me for the bank thing.
So, okay, what else are you investigating when they turn over the SIM card with the video on it? What else can you put?
I don't know. Maybe you got to double check and make sure that they haven't sent video crews. I mean, that's probably an easy thing to check. I'm just saying, you go do that. Other road games. All right. Did they ever ask for cameras there that we didn't know about?
I was told they have not.
And
this was the first time they did this.
And that's what I believe, too. But I'm saying before you come down with the, hey, it's a $200,000 fine and nothing to see here, we're moving on, you just got to cross a couple T's.
But don't you think that, okay, by looking at the, if you have the video, you're Goodell, and we know how he is with videos, because wasn't there a video of the Ray Rice sitting on his desk for some months? So who knows? If you have the video, the first thing that somebody in your office should do is say, hey, let's look at this video. Let's see how incriminating it is and what was really going on, so we can kind of make a judgment of what we saw. We talked to the Kraft producer who said, hey, I made a mistake.
Right.
You look at the video. Oh, okay. It doesn't seem like they were really trying to do anything. That's simple. Hell, you know what? Let's even put the video out there for people to see.
Mike's in Framingham. Hey, Mike.
How you doing? Two things. First off, Wiggy, you can't blame the guy who confiscated the video, because he might lose his job. He let them get away with it.
No, I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying that once they turn the video over to the NFL, let's give me some answers. I don't think you. I'm not blaming. Good.
You call them a mall cop and stuff. But the other thing too is NFL films. They film on the sidelines. They have all kinds of access. Now, how exactly does that work with them as opposed to like Kraft Services?
I can tell you that at Gillette Stadium, for instance. There are only three cameras that are allowed to film onto the Patriots bench area. One is the network, obviously.
Okay.
One is NFL Films.
Okay.
One is Kraft Sports Productions.
All right.
They're the only, like, if Channel 7 went down there, they couldn't stand there and film onto the bench area. People would descend on them and say, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, right.
They're the only ones who can literally do that. And obviously, they're vetted. They know who NFL Films is. They know who the network is. They know who Kraft Sports Productions is. Now, if Kraft Sports Productions wanted to go to Cleveland and stand down on the sidelines and film the Bengals bench, they wouldn't be allowed to do it.
Right.
But don't you think they would still be able to do that in the press box, right? Isn't there somebody up there who's going? Because from all the reports, it was a tripod and there was a camera sitting on it. So it wasn't like this thing was just being.
It was out in the open.
Right. So don't you think somebody, there are security people all over the place. There's probably a security guard in the press box who goes, hey, what are you guys doing here? What are you filming? Can't film this. Can't do that. Right. Don't you think there would be somebody there to let them know, and they go, oh, we're just doing this documentary. We have permission from the Cleveland organization. We could be up here. Okay, you could be up here. Just turn the camera the other way.
Is it one of those things, though, where around the league, it's such common sense that you don't even think you need to remind anybody? I think especially for the Patriots, but even other teams. Like, after that, if you're another team in the league and you saw the punishment that they got for it, and you said, wow. So, first of all, everybody in the league was told, cut this out. We're not doing this anymore. So that is why the Patriots, when they did it, it looked even worse. Because it wasn't that they just got caught. They were all told specifically, hey, don't do this anymore.
They just moved from one area and filmed from another area.
And so now they're like, we're done with that. You can't do that at all. They lost a first-round pick. I would think anytime there's any outside camera crew, it's common knowledge. Don't tape the field because you know what's going to happen. And so that's why I don't think you have anybody that's stepping in and be like, hey, make sure you don't do that. Like, no, I think it would be known, but apparently not for whoever, you know, this guy was that decided to do this probably on his own and not really know him better.
I mean, I'll say this. Football operations obviously knows the rules. They've already paid a hefty price for violating the rules. They know exactly what you can and can't do. Should a producer from Kraft Sports Productions know it? Maybe.
But doesn't his boss know it?
The independent contractor, the camera guy, who's shooting for Kraft Sports Productions today and shooting a piece for CNN tomorrow and shooting a piece for ESPN on Friday, he's not going to know.
No, he don't know. But don't you think whoever the person is that works for Kraft Sports Production that goes, okay, here's what we're doing. We're going to be sending you guys out. Here's the story. We're following this advanced scout. Only thing you can't do is film the field in any way. You can get inside the press box. You can get him taking notes, this, that, and the other. But whatever you do, don't film the field. don't whoever that person is should have relayed to the producer if maybe the producer didn't know that because this is their first time going on the road and they don't know what they can film to get B-roll. And they go, oh, okay.
All these are questions being asked down there right now, I bet, Wiggy. I bet you're right. How did this happen? Who should have known what you could and couldn't do? Who didn't convey that? Here's what Belichick told OMF on Monday when he was asked about where you can shoot and where you can't shoot.
I know when all this thing went down, it was an understanding of where you can and cannot videotape the sidelines. You can't do it from the sideline or from the field level. But
you
always
can't
thought
do
there
it,
were areas
there.
You
no.
could do it from in the stadium. You can't?
No.
Nowhere?
Nowhere.
Huh.
No.
I thought it was,
we were all wrong.
I thought it was in a covered area, upstairs in a covered area you could do it, if there was an overhang or a covered area. Wasn't there
no, the advanced scouts is in a press box.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no camera for an event. He can use binoculars and take notes and, you know, all that. But, no, he can't video record the plays or anything else that's going on. Absolutely not.
So the only film is just the all 22, the films that you guys, I guess, would just use for any other.
You can use TV copy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can use TV copy. Sure.
Oh, he knows the rules.
So
yeah, but so
cost him $500,000.
Right.
But OMF were definitely on to something because that I feel like was out there for a little while was that like, oh yeah, taping's allowed, but just in certain places. But apparently Bill's shut that whole thing down.
I don't think it was, but covered
area.
I love Glenn's covered area. Wait a second.
If you have an umbrella, you can film from anywhere.
So if I'm wearing a hat and I have a phone, that's technically a covered area.
Yeah, if you're wearing a hat that, you know, you could put your little card, your press card
in there.
Bill's
like, no way. But I heard it was a covered area.
Yeah. What if it's like a convertible? Like a, you know, it's a hot day, I put the convertible down, but, you know, if it's a rainy
day, you're
uncovered,
but when you're covered.
Yeah, I can put it up.
So, Bill, it's a covered area.
He's like, what are you talking about?
So anything.
He's like, no.
If
no.
I'm underneath something, am I technically covered?
Nope, you can use the binocs. You can pull out the old binocs. You can take notes. That is it.
Are you sure? I heard it was covered there.
No, I'm telling you. I'm Bill Belichick. I'm telling you. You can't do it.
John's in Concord. Hey, John.
How you guys doing?
Good.
You know, scouting is crazy to me anyway because it's almost like cheating in itself. Like, you know, I remember my high school coach sending our assistant coach to the other school during the week to look at, you know, the team and what they might be doing.
Sure.
And if we noticed like a car, you know, parked watching our practice, we might start running plays that had nothing to do with what we were going to be doing during the game.
You're a little paranoid.
Like throw
it's
them
advanced
off.
Scouting.
Is that what that is?
It's just, there's always going to be something. And Rich, I don't know, but like the cell phones nowadays.
Sure.
Like, you can't tell me that these high school coaches aren't, you know, some of the bad ones aren't trying to cheat with cell phones.
I don't doubt
like
it.
Probably goes
fans,
on.
Like you said.
Yeah. High
and
school.
Then someone else on the sidelines has an earpiece in their ear and you're relaying like direct information to them live. Like I can't see how
that's only football happen. That this seems to happen.
No.
Well, baseball.
Well, because
no, well,
baseball
no, I'm talking about the advanced, you know, going and watching a team practice or something.
Well,
or,
because it's really, I mean, okay, LeBron's got the ball, everybody get out of the way.
I feel like they might be running some sort of pick and roll here coming
right.
up. There might be a little bit of a pick and roll.
Hey, whose black Pontiac Trans Am is that? That's usually never here.
Fake plays. Hey, run all the fake plays. you guys know the drill. Like, wow, they run a ton of flea flicker. All they do is flea flicker.
Right.
Every play is a flea flicker.
I mean, I've scouted plenty of youth football games, and, you know, I don't know what all the rules are. I videotaped them before.
Would you ever think about maybe going, like, really deep into the weeds and having, like, a kid transfer schools just to befriend some of the players, learn their
aggressive,
and then report back. Always report back.
But see, you don't have the good thing about it. You don't have to transfer schools. You can just become friends on Snapchat.
Oh, there you go. The socials.
Yeah,
the socials.
The
Make
socials
sure you
now.
Instagram. You can catfish. These
you
kids.
Can catfish these
just
kids.
Start catfishing kids left and right.
Hey, what plays you running this week? Well, I think we're gonna run a lot. I don't know if you guys have. I've been to a lot of high school games.
Yeah.
So we're probably gonna run the toss. Wait a second. Don't you run that play all the time?
We run a
sprint. So I did, like 60% of your offense
right, so
anyway?
So I became friends with you to run the toss, which you run 90% of the time?
We're pretty much just going to run toss right, toss left.
Yeah, that's it. And we're going to give it to 22. Wait a second. Is that 245-pound kid? Yeah, he
the
gets the ball.
Back, the running back you guys give the ball to all the time?
The one who's averaging like 245 yards a game?
No, it's advanced scouting. It's the black Pontiac Trans Am who's been sitting there for the past 4 hours. Maybe he's a diddler.
Guy in a sea of Cheetos and Diet Cokes and just videotaping away on his phone.
Well, my mother was like, hey, never go to up to a car where the guy's like, hey, you want some ice cream? Now it's like you got to tell the kids, hey, never go to a car when the guy's like, hey, what's that play you guys
were? What play was that? That looked pretty good.
Yeah, what was that play then?
Hey, you did a really good job on that.
Right.
617-779-7937. We'll go to Gillette Stadium for Bill Belichick's press conference at 11:45 or thereabouts whenever he decides to go. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the HBO special last night, which was produced by NFL Films.
They were allowed to film it.
Something's got to be coming out of this. There's got to be something.
Well, it's funny because the opening scene of it, you wonder what exactly is going on. We'll talk about it when we come back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Now back to Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Few reach the peak of their profession. Even fewer stay there. But after six Super Bowl titles and six national championships, a pair of football coaches have established themselves at the very top of their business.
So that was the beginning of Belichick and Saban, The Art of Coaching. It was an HBO special that ran last night. I'm sure you can find it again. They'll run it many more times in the future as well. It was actually done by NFL Films. It was fascinating. I love inside stuff. I love, you know, listening to them talk football on the sidelines at Alabama Pro Day. And I just like hearing them, you know, swap stuff back and forth. But the very beginning of the program was something that jumped out at me. So the whole idea here is Belichick walks into Saban's office. They're getting ready to do this thing. And, you know, they're saying hello and all that stuff. And then this happens.
All right, so what so how about if we just give us a few minutes, Kenny, just so we can kind of get caught up here.
This is on what you're going to talk about.
Well, yeah, just, yeah, so.
All right, let's cut the cameras off.
Yeah, so why don't you just give us a few minutes privately. All right.
You want us out of here?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
No one ignores Coach Belichick. But as the crew left Nick Saban's office, one unmanned backup camera remained on.
How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How about you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
It was a hell of a damn year.
Yeah.
We played played your ass off on defense in that last game.
It's the last third of the season, we played good. We were for two-thirds of the year, but then it kind of came together.
Are you guys, I was trying to watch, are you still playing like some 3-4 stuff, but mostly out of a lot of sync, but different guys dropping. And
so the whole idea here, the premise is they leave a hard camera on. The crew gets basically thrown out of the room.
Right.
They've got microphones on, and the microphones stay on. Now, here's what I promise you. NFL Films ran this by Belichick and Saban and said, hey, listen, here's what happened. We got this. Is it okay? There is no way they're running this.
Blindsided with that. Right. Yeah. What if they just start trashing guys? Like, you know who's a real idiot is that right. Adam Gase?
But don't you think Bill was aware of that, though?
Well, I don't know.
No. It was the way it was. He basically said, "Hey, can you guys just?"
There's always a chance. Right?
Because the way he said it, I haven't seen this, and I'm going to watch it. I got a DVR.
Yeah.
But the way he said it, like, "Hey, listen, give us some time here." It was almost.
Well, then the crew said, "Do you want us to leave the room?" And he said, "Yeah, right. If you don't."
But
mind.
It was almost like he was in control of the situation. He's in control of what they're going to shoot, what they're not going to shoot.
Right.
So he's like, "All right, get out. Give us some time here," but they mysteriously happened to leave an audio.
Got it going.
Something where we can.
I honestly think that they didn't realize that they were still being recorded.
Was it just the camera that was kept?
It was a hard camera that was. It wasn't like zoomed in on them. It was in the back of the room,
right?
And you saw them. They were sitting at Saban's desk,
right?
Saban sitting behind the desk, Belichick sitting in front of it.
So was he saying that they were bad last year?
Two thirds of the season. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then the last third, they were good?
Said they played well the last third. They were bad for two thirds.
Is the Miami and Pittsburgh losses both in the last third? Wouldn't they be? That was week 14 and 15.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would think.
Unless he's like thinking that the playoffs count for more. I'm just trying to do the math in my head. I feel like they like surprisingly weren't flawless after Thanksgiving, you know, like where they normally are. They dropped a couple of games. That's where they got the whole play for 60 minutes thing against Miami. Then they followed that up with a bad loss at Pittsburgh where they only scored 10 points. I'm surprised he said that.
Well, last third, is he counting the regular season?
Well, that's what I'm saying. He didn't say the last third. He said, you know, we played well for a third of the season.
We played the last third for two thirds.
Yeah, the last third.
But he was in the first two thirds. They were
right.
Good.
And then when you said the last third,
that starts with two losses.
Are we just talking about the regular season? Maybe so he factored in
the last third of the season. We played good.
So you got the Super Bowl.
So that's three
divisional
games.
Round.
By that's the way, two games. He took complete responsibility for the Miami loss.
Yeah,
this was all on him. And I don't. Yes, we do have it. This is cut number seven, John. And he's talking about what happened in the Miami game last year.
I tell our players all the time, good players can't overcome bad coaching. And with bad coaching like we had last year in the Miami game, where we couldn't play defense for 7 seconds, I don't care how good the players are, bad coaching, they can't overcome it. But that's a bad feeling. You never want to let your team down.
That's such also a great subtle shot at all the bad coaches in the league and yet also a humble brag because they've won so much. And he's like, we all have good players.
Right.
I've won a lot more because I'm a good coach. These teams are out there losing. And that's why I think he has no problem grabbing a Stephon Gilmore from the Bills or a Wes Welker from the Dolphins or whatever.
Or OBJ from the Cleveland Browns.
Right. Next year when he gets OBJ because he sees bad teams because first and foremost, they have really bad coaches and they're not putting their guys in a position to succeed, which was also what happened at the end of the Miami game. They put Gronk in a position where he was not going to succeed. That was not the play to have Gronk out there. But yeah, I guess going back to the first cut, I would question his
thirds.
They played well the final third of the season.
Because they ended up playing, 19 games last year?
Yes.
All right, so that would mean if
cut
it was
that
a third
six, seven.
Yeah, so the last six games of the year.
So that would be at least the Pittsburgh game where you lost and you looked
so maybe
defeated.
The last third you played good except for one or two games.
Yeah, okay, I guess maybe.
But I just don't understand the whole. It's real convenient that one camera's always left on and left behind.
You
got to
be always
something.
Rolling on these things. You ever watch the Jinx documentary?
No, I've never saw
this guy admits to killing people while he's mic'd up going to the bathroom.
Yeah, he's got the microphone.
He didn't realize was it Robert Durst was his name?
Yes. Hmm.
He didn't realize, so he did this whole interview. The guy's a psychopath. Does this whole interview, and then he gets up and like they got some stuff out of him. Gets up, he's still mic'd up.
Okay.
He goes in the bathroom and he like
says,
"He's like, I got away with it. Right. I killed her." And you're like, "Oh, what?
What more, Ron? Say, let me. I'm gonna walk out of here.
Like, wait a minute."
And then the guy's like, "You that." Microphone thing on, and he's like,
"You just gotta always be rolling here."
Oh, I was just playing.
You guys caught that?
So there was not a lot of new necessarily. Mm-hmm. It's inside stuff, which is fun for me. There was one thing in particular, and I'm trying to remember if you go back to the 2007 season, as they're rolling late in the year, And somebody wrote this, and I wish I could remember who it was. Somebody wrote that maybe it would be better if the Patriots lost the game.
Oh, people definitely wrote and
somebody
said that.
Somebody wrote it
and I hated it.
And
I
said,
hated
you know,
thought.
Take the pressure off. Well, Belichick talked about the 2007 season.
Well, you've had the one undefeated championship team, right?
One.
And all the rest of them, you lost a game. Right. And we had that in 07, you know, we're 18-0. And in retrospect, it might have been better for us had we lost one somewhere along the way, you know, to win at the end, because really it's so much about how you play at the end of the season more than it is at the beginning of the season. So as you hate to lose that game when you're 10-0 or 8-0 or 13, whatever it is, sometimes in retrospect, that's not a bad thing because it can refocus a good team, you know, towards, okay, we're mortal and we have to do things right, as opposed to just thinking that's always going to just, we're going to get a good bounce at the end somehow, and doesn't always work out that way.
I don't know that I've ever heard him admit that.
No.
Well, that's because he's now in the position where he can play Monday morning quarterback because it's so many years later. But in the moment, does he feel that? In 2007, when you're undefeated, are you really feeling that way?
I don't think so. And a fun fact, Dante Hightower was on the one undefeated Nick Saban team.
Alabama.
He was on that team, yeah.
We're going to go to Gillette Stadium, pick up at least part of Bill Belichick's press conference in a few minutes. We'll get back to your calls as well at 617-779-7937. Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston at 1 here on Sports Radio WEEI.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now back to Dale and Keith, WEEI.
We'll go down to Gillette Stadium and the start of Bill Belichick's press conference as soon as he steps to the podium. Mark Maskey, who covers the NFL for the Washington Post, tweeted out a few minutes ago, NFL's investigation of the Patriots video was not completed as of this morning, so no determination yet on possible penalty. League's attitude that this does not rise to the level of a Spygate-like infraction does not seem to have changed as of this morning.
Yeah.
Which is what I was hearing as well. They don't think this is like Spygate. They think this is a screw-up.
A screw-up.
And the Patriots are going to get fined. They're going to have to pay a penalty.
Oh, without a
I don't
doubt.
Think they're losing any draft picks.
Because I do.
They don't think this is like Spygate at all.
I don't think it's like Spygate, but you can't even allow yourself to be close to it, right? I don't even think you can allow yourself to, you know, be flirting with something like this. So I think really more so to appease Cincinnati and the rest of the teams in the league.
There's got
to
be something.
And it's like a refresher, too, to everybody else. Be like, oh, by the way, this is how serious it is. Even if it's a screw-up, sixth-round pick,
right,
$500,000 or $300,000, whatever the hell the number is going to be on that. And then you kind of move
right,
on from
because
there.
Right, because the punishment is against the organization, not against Belichick, right? So the organization, when they look at it, they're going to say, well, Kraft, you're at the top of the organization, and how this is something that...
This was Kraft Sports Productions.
Right. So here's how we're going to have to penalize you. You know, obviously the fine, and then maybe we're going to take away a six-round pick, which really doesn't matter because that same six-round pick Bill would probably trade down and get 4 seventh-round picks. So it's like, you know.
In fact, he would be more mad if they took a third from him than a first. He'd be so upset. Right. This is where we get all the diamonds
this
in the rough.
This is where we're doing. We're flipping things left and right. You know, in the third round, that's when we turn and we're like dope dealers down here. We're cutting it up. We're chopping it up and we're trying to make money.
Yeah, this first round you can have.
Yeah, you can have that one.
I'll be very surprised if it includes a draft pick, just based on the things. And Maskey's talking about this as well. They are of the opinion that unless something happens, they discover something else when they, you know, have completed this investigation, assuming that it's what they see right now, they're going to say, look, this kid screwed up. I don't know how old he is. This producer screwed
75
up.
75 years old.
Yeah, this guy screwed up. It was a mistake.
But, I mean, they're really,
you still got to pay the price. This is your guy.
Whenever it is, though, or whatever it is, it needs to be done soon.
And Dale, I was going to ask you, don't you think that if it is going to be no draft pick and it's just going to be a fine, don't you think that then the NFL would have to appease everybody, right? All these 32, all the 31 other teams and the national media would have to say, okay, here's exactly what we found. Here's what the video looks like. Don't you think that they would have to come out with all that stuff to now say, here's why we did? Because if they don't take away a draft pick, you know what the narrative is going to be. Wait a second. What's going on? Why didn't you take away the draft pick? Don't you think they have to show and give us every detail of what they found and what they seen?
I mean, it's going to be pretty clear what the video shows. Bengals already, you know, got the iPhone video of that.
But we should see it as a public.
I guess. I mean, they destroyed the video the last time, and probably
I don't think we're going to see this.
You don't think so?
The only chance I think we see it is if they don't punish the Patriots very much, and then I think the Bengals will let a copy out, and then we'll take a look at it.
But don't you think if the video doesn't come out, right, it's a bad look for the Patriots? If the video doesn't come out, because if it's destroyed, then it's like, oh my, what are you hiding?
Right, that's what happened the first time.
Right.
It seemed like it was a horrible look.
What are you hiding? Right. And then if it's like, well, we looked at it and, you know, there's nothing to see here. It's what, something happened. This is, or mm-hmm. They only find them that if it's nothing bad on the video, why can't we see it?
Right. I don't know.
That's why I think if you're the NFL, you have to put this video out, because by putting it out, it completely puts everything to bed.
Several texters have confirmed what I thought was the case back in 2007. It was Michael Gee of the Herald who wrote at the time, you know, maybe it'd be good if the Patriots, and got openly mocked sports talk radio.
But I feel
like. And now you got Bill Belichick saying, you know, in hindsight.
I think there even might have been somebody in sports talk radio back in 07 that said that too. And because we even heard it a couple of years ago, right, when the team was as good as they were and there was a chance, hey, thinking about them, you know, undefeated. They're like, well, you know, it might be good for them to lose. Or like, there's such a thing as a good loss or takes the pressure off and all that stuff. And I'm like, that's just such a loser mentality. I think it was a loser mentality then. I think it's a loser mentality now. Go undefeated. If you want to go undefeated, go undefeated.
Although, as Belichick said, you know, he said, I never want to lose any game. Mm-hmm. But in hindsight, maybe it would have helped.
But how do you coach to lose?
Well, right. You don't coach to lose. Right. He's just saying you
hope that you do.
Like, right. Well, if you go back and you look and you go, okay, yeah.
He's not saying they should have, you know, tried to lose.
No, he's just saying
maybe it wouldn't have been such a bad thing if we had lost.
I mean,
I guess
they played that really close game at the end of the year against the Giants. If they lost to the Giants in the regular season,
do you think
do you think they had a better chance to win the Super Bowl? I don't think so. You know, if Harrison just knocks the ball away from Tyree, they go undefeated.
No, because
you know what I mean? Like, whether they dropped a game or not, they would have won that game.
And you really don't want to lose, because what that does is now that breeds in the team that beat you's mind, like, oh, we could beat this team again if we see them. Mm-hmm. Or you know, that's what happened in 01 against the Rams. We lost in a very close game that we thought like we should have won in Foxborough. And we said, we could beat the Rams.
You're right there with them, yeah.
Right, and then the Giants probably did the same thing. And I thought there was some of that when that happened in 07. I mean, I still remember the Randy Moss touchdown down the sideline.
Yeah, so do I.
But I feel like a lot of Giants players go, well, when we played them tough at the end of the year.
Right, they won by three.
That's when we knew that we could beat this team.
Right.
Still awaiting the arrival of Bill Belichick at the podium. It was supposed to be at 11:45, but these things happen on Belichick standard time.
Maybe he's talking to the league.
That's it. Maybe he's coming.
Maybe he'll break news. Maybe he'll step to the podium and say, we've just been docked $200,000 and three first-round draft
picks. Well, because he might know that, it's going to leak out there after he's talked about this. If there's something already that's been put out there, and hopefully it is the league, you know, saying, hey, here's what we found, and, you know.
Let's go down to Gillette Stadium.
Here, in a few days, getting familiar with the Bengals, and, you know, first of all, let's say, you know, I have a great deal of respect for, you know, Mike Brown, the Brown family, and the Bengals organization, always have. And you know, I think there's, you know, this is a football team that, you know, doesn't have a good record, but they actually do a lot of things really well in all three phases of the game. Been very, you know, impressed watching them play, and, you know, they cause a lot of problems. Special teams, you know, I think Darren does a great job with that unit. As usual, they're right at the top of the league in both punt and kickoff coverage, kickoff returns. A really solid group, well coached, fundamentally very good, and you know, make it tough on you there. You know, defensively, very disruptive front. You know, Hubbard and Dunlap outside, Atkins inside. One of the, you know, so one of the better, more disruptive groups. You know, we've faced, and we faced some good ones here over the course of the season. So. You know, they present a lot of problems there. It's a very aggressive defense, and you know, really make you work for the yards. And you know, offensively, very good skill group. Obviously, the quarterback Dalton's, you know, very experienced guys that led this team to a lot of victories, a lot of comeback victories. You know, excellent quarterback, good backs, guys that are different. You know, Mixon and Bernard, but both outstanding players. Make a lot of yards on their own, both good in the passing game, both good in the running game. You know, very versatile players. You know, Eifert and Uzuma, tight end, do a great job too. Both very talented guys. Been very productive in the red area, like Eifert usually is, and he's a problem. And then the receivers are, you know, it's a good group of receivers. And I know that, you know, Green hasn't played. You know, I've had a couple injuries there, but these guys continue to be productive with the quarterback, the tight ends, the backs, and the entire offensive system that you know, Coach Taylor runs. So they're a well-balanced team, running game, passing game, play action, drop back, misdirection. They do a good job keeping the defense honest and you know, don't get penalized. They get a lot of penalties because people are trying to hold Atkins or hold Dunlap or, you know, grab the receivers or whatever it is. So play good in the kicking game. I mean, they gain a lot of advantages when they haven't turned the ball over, like in the Jet game. You know, they win. So obviously that's something we'll try to do, but it's not anything you can always count on. So we'll have to, you know, play 60 minutes of good football in all three phases. You know, against a good young football team. Or really impressed with a lot of things. Like I said, a lot of things that they do. And, you know, but when you've had some of the turnovers that they've had, then that's obviously, that negates a lot of the good things that are happening out there. But that's good. Can't judge this team by the record. That's not really, it's not really reflective of what they are, in my opinion.
Raise your hand if you have questions. I'll call on you. Doug Kide?
I know that you said that, you know, football and the team production side are different entities. You guys did
the football team, the football staff, and the coaching staff had nothing to do with what happened. Nothing. So we have no involvement in it.
You guys had a scout in the Cleveland press box. So was he aware of the rules that you can't film from the press box?
He was doing his job. That's what he was doing. He was doing his job. Like we all tried to do. That's what the football team, the football staff, and the coaching staff did. Last week, try to do their job for Kansas City, and then Cincinnati, and then Buffalo next week, and that's it. So, I just answered a question. That's it. We had no involvement in it. Zero.
Bill, have you heard from the league at all?
I told you everything. Look, Mr. Kraft made a statement. The team made a statement. That's all I need to add.
Have you reached out?
Do not have anything to add.
Zach Taylor.
Do not have anything to add.
To ask you about the rookie class. How do you feel about how the rookies as a class overall are performing this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll talk about all that at the end of the year. Right now, we're trying to get everybody to perform as well as we can for Cincinnati. Players, coaches, all three units, and go out there and play as well as we can on Sunday. That's really where we're at.
I guess, like a guy like Damian Harris, when the run game's having a struggle this year throughout the season, why not give him a chance to show what he can do out there?
Yeah, well, I told you each week we'll do the best we can each week to make the decisions and do best we can to make put a competitive team out there and try to beat our opponent. We did that last week. The other 13 games, we'll do it going forward.
The class in general hasn't played a whole lot other than Winovich and the punter. Do you feel like they need a year to get stronger and acclimate to the NFL, generally speaking?
All right, we jump in here.
Yeah,
we can take it from here. Unless they go back to it, we can always, bring that to
we'll
you.
Roll shut tape. It
he
down.
Was not having it.
I thought he was about to drop an F-bomb at one point.
He was mad. He's. I don't even know if he's mad necessarily at the questions.
No.
He knows the questions are coming.
Right.
He's just so mad that they're even
the
in
situation.
This spot. Oh, he's so mad.
Do not have anything to add.
But so we don't know if the league's talked to them or not. We don't know if he's talked to Zach Taylor or not. We don't know any of that just yet.
He's not adding anything.
No.
Because he knows at the end of the day, anytime there's a situation, any gate. It's coming and it's all falling on his lap. No matter what it is, it's falling on his lap. That's why I said,
right.
If I was him, I'd walk right into Kraft's office and say, hey, I'm taking all this ish for you. It's falling on my lap.
Mm-hmm.
You better pick up the phone and call Antonio Brown. He better be back in here. What's today? Wednesday? Tomorrow morning, I better see him in the building.
That's right.
That's what I would do. But then again, I'm sitting here with you two.
That's a good point.
With no involvement.
How'd that happen to you?
I think it's a fairly safe bet. By the way, if you follow Antonio Brown on Twitter, today is not the day to suggest that somebody's going to be reaching out to Antonio Brown and offering him a deal.
Shime, reach out to Antonio Brown on Twitter because it feels like today is the day he could respond to us.
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
Say
I'll offer him a deal to come
tag
on.
Tag me in there, man.
Like a shout out
ask him like what song you should sing on Karaoke Tuesday, like something.
Yeah, I feel I'll like sing his theme song.
He's going to respond.
Tag me in there. Tell him we'll get him a shirt and everything.
He does have a burgeoning music career, so I jump on board, help him
get
out
on
a little
there,
bit.
Sing backgrounds.
He tweeted out here. There's a couple here. Innocent to proven guilty. It's been 3 months. Exclamation point.
Did he use the number two?
Nobody did use the number three. He then tweeted out, the owners sent the hit to the media. Media carried it out. As the agent and NFLPA witness me go down, no help, no protection, full takedown on us every time.
Who's us?
Us. Man, it's us. It's us. You never seen the movie Us? It's
I
us.
Did. That movie was horrible.
Yeah, that was a bad
see,
movie.
See, we can agree on
top
that.
Top 10.
Top 10 worst of the
see
decade.
If we can get
us.
Yeah.
Who's he talking about? Who else did they take down besides you?
You're asking me to translate now?
Yes. Wow. Yes. You're reading these tweets. What do they mean?
We got the.
We're just in time for the holiday season.
It is.
Okay, good.
Oh, bring AB back.
Yeah.
See if we can send those
like
to Kraft.
I'm going to suggest that's probably not going to happen.
I don't know why. He's not going after Kraft. And one of the tweets
was. No, he's going after the league.
Well, that's
calling
the league
racist.
Well, it's the league. We can, yeah.
Doesn't the league have to clear him?
No. I think that.
Said they do.
Well, Goodell has to make his decision. And I don't
he's going to jump on that bandwagon.
But I don't even
right
think
now.
Goodell has to make the decision. I think all a team has to do is sign him, right? And he does say in one of those tweets where they're like, well, wait a second. Didn't you just apologize? And he goes, yeah, I apologize to the fam. So that's like Kraft, the Patriots, those people. But the right. league, the
no,
NFL.
He's still mad at the league.
Yeah, the that's NFL is different.
Yeah, he said that was the fam, not the racist NFL.
No. Yeah. No, I apologize.
I left that part
NFL.
Out, though, Wiggy. That's the part that's probably not going to help him much.
Well, I mean, from his view, it's different.
I'm not saying – I understand he's mad. I'm just saying
– You see he put out the – then he put up the picture of Richie Incognito.
Yeah.
Well, he put out a picture. This one, he's got a picture out there as well, which is – it shows him in like a gladiator arena.
Nice.
And
okay.
He's got it's actually funny cuz he's got his agent, he's got the head of the NFLPA, they're watching from the sidelines and they're showing the network and ESPN and Sports Illustrated as the ones who stabbed him with a sword.
That's really well done. He's wearing his Patriots practice jersey too.
Yeah, he is.
Which I like that.
Right.
Get the Gillette logo on there. I'm sure
Well, he's basically saying, here's what he's saying, because this is the one tweet that stands out most to me, where his frustration comes from.
Yeah, what do you got?
And the tweet was, these guys still work, and we know life not fair, but targeted hate, get intervention filed at NFLPA.
Yeah,
right?
Like you that know, one?
I mean, I knew what he's trying to say.
Okay.
And then it's a list of NFL players arrested, and it's just list of guys and their arrests and the current teams that they play for. Patrick Chung even made the list.
Chung's on there, huh?
Yeah, Patrick Chung made the list. Leonard Fournette, Demaryius Thomas, who's a free agent. But it's his frustration of, okay, here it is. I can't get in the league. I can't play. But you got guys that have been arrested, and I just have some, you know, accusations, and not even really accusations, but a civil case that's kind of been brought to.
Wait, when he says a Caucasian player gets a domestic, go to jail, still out there playing, targeted hate against us everywhere, yes. My peeps. What white guy got busted for a domestic, went to jail,
and is still out there playing?
Maybe there's somebody like.
We don't know.
Who is it?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I feel like there's been other guys that have had domestic issues, like Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill, and they are playing on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't know.
I know it sounds like I'm making excuses for this guy. I actually honestly believe that he's got some concussion things going on ever since that hit by Vontaze Burfict. He gets so ADD at times. He's
going after the NFL.
He'll apologize now, and an hour from now, he'll go off like a rocket.
Well, he won't even apologize. Somebody will write something for him and convince him to post it. Like, he's not writing the apology.
Well, that's because he's in the – you got to understand, he's in the mode right now that it's him against the world.
Clearly.
Everywhere he looks, he sees guys that have been arrested that are playing. He sees that – he feels like it's unfair – the way that they're treating me, right? So not everybody has the same mentality of, like, when they feel like they're being untreated, where they go, you know what? I'm going to let the system just take care of itself. I'm going to let this process play itself out. Some people have the DNA where their moods change and they lash out and they go, F them. Look how they're doing me and this, that, and the other. That's the nature of mood swings.
He's definitely got some mood swings.
Today, he's got some stuff going on.
Going back, retweeting the
just
stuff.
Just give the man.
He's back on that.
Listen,
training.
If you give this man a job, you won't hear from him no more. That's what he wants. He's a guy.
That's pretty likely.
Yeah, he's a kid
please,
with no
will
home.
You stop with that.
I'm telling you,
he'll just be a new man. The minute you give him a job, he'll never say anything ever again.
Well, he won't say anything about the league. He won't say because he'll feel like, all right, I've been given my chance again. You know, it's my redemption song. You heard Bob Marley.
I think he's just gotten some bad news that he's not going to be playing this year.
That could be it.
And
right?
That's what's happening now.
Yeah, that's
last weekend, he wanted, like, think about it. He countersued. He apologized specifically to Kraft, and he apologized again to everybody. And then today, he's going back on Twitter, and he's saying, I don't need the league again. Like,
so
you got some bad news.
So his agent probably heard from the league.
He's like, hey, Antonio, this year's not looking good.
And you know who else he's crapping on is the NFLPA. So he feels like the NFLPA didn't fight for me, and now I got the league. Now I got information that, hey, guess what? We're not going to give you a ruling on the investigation until the offseason.
Well, then, and maybe part of this is that guy that we talked about earlier who tweeted out, there's a 0% chance that Antonio Brown ever plays another snap in the NFL.
Yeah, maybe that guy got something.
To which he responded rather salty.
Maybe he's onto something there. Maybe that guy.
Maybe Antonio's heard something similar.
Right, but why wouldn't he be able to? What would the league? How could the league suspend him? Or ban him from playing again.
They shouldn't be able to.
Right.
What did he do wrong?
As far as what he's done, he hasn't done anything criminal. He hasn't been convicted.
Well, we don't know that.
Well, he hasn't been convicted of any criminal charges.
Yeah, we don't know that he hasn't done anything.
Right. Okay, so he hasn't been convicted of any criminal charges. Yep. So where does the league have the right to just go, we're banning this player? He hasn't tested positive for any PEDs or any drug tests or anything of that nature. So how could he get information that you're never going to play again?
I don't know.
Yeah,
it's weird. But he sounds today like a guy who doesn't like the news that he's hearing.
Well, I mean, I agree with you on that one.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe. About an hour from now, Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, will join us here on Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.